134, please. I appreciate you men of God that are here tonight, and I know you're busy, and I appreciate you taking time out tonight. And I know there are many other men probably under this tabernacle that are just as well able and apt to stand here tonight as myself, and so I don't take it lightly. So I do want to try to give you what's on my heart, Psalm chapter 134. And if you're able and willing to stand, do that. Let's give honor and reverence to the public reading of the Word of God. How many of you are thankful tonight for that good old King James Bible you got? Praise God. We were talking coming down the road. I believe the King James was the Word of God even before I got saved. I didn't even know there was anything else. I believed in the virgin birth before I got saved. Didn't know anything about it, but I didn't have any problem with that. So I'm thankful tonight for this old book. It's tried and true. Amen. And let's see what God has to say tonight. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. I'm interested in a little phrase in verse number 1, and it's that little phrase, by night, the servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. If the Lord would help me tonight for a little while, I want to take that little phrase, by night, and I want to preach on this thought, working the night shift. Amen. Working the night shift. Amen. These servants, no accident, they're there by night. They're there reporting for duty, and they're there to work the night shift. I don't think you need me to remind you tonight, we're living in a dark hour. Feels like sometimes we're on the night shift. But thank God daylight's a coming one day. And may God help us to be faithful even on the night shift in this day. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you tonight for the privilege, for the honor it is to stand here, Lord. I honestly feel like I ought to take my shoes off. This is holy ground. God, many great men of God, Brother Ken and other men that will be here this week are going to stand in this very spot. And Lord, what an honor that it is to stand here and to represent you. And I pray tonight, God, for a few minutes that you would simply enable me to do what I don't have the human ability to do, and that's to preach the Word of God. I pray tonight, Holy Ghost, you'd give us liberty not only to preach, but to hear and to respond and to obey what you say to us. And Lord, when we leave in a little while, we'll leave closer to you than we were when we walked up that hill. Thank you for this good church, this good man of God. Thank you for this meeting. I pray for Brother Eddie, Brother Joe, Wednesday night. I pray you'll touch them, empower them, give them the word for the hour. And Lord, now tonight, for a few moments, let the big preacher say what only he can say, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. When you begin in Psalm 120, you begin a series of songs that are called a song of degrees. In fact, they begin in Psalm 120 and they end here in Psalm 134. There are 15 in total of those songs of degrees. You may see it there if you have an inscription underneath the chapter heading, a song of degree. There's 15 of those and it ends here in Psalm 134. Now the word degree speaks of an elevation. And it was that they were taking a journey. They were traveling to a higher place. And as they would sing these songs of degrees, these 15 of them, most believe that they sang them as they made their journey out from the courtyard of the men and the women. And there were 15 steps that led up to the doors of the temple of the house of God. And they would begin in Psalm 120 and sing those songs as they made their trek and made their journey up to the house of God. Maybe they took that that first step preacher, and they sang Psalm 120 and verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Then they took the next step and sung, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Then the third step singing, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. So they taking those steps, singing those songs of degrees, as they make their elevation, ultimately that would lead them to the house of God. So Psalm 120 is the commencement of the journey, but Psalm 134, what we read tonight, is the conclusion of that journey. They've now arrived at that place. They've now arrived at the house of God, and now they're called upon to work, in verse number 1, that night shift. These servants which by night are standing and serving in the house of the Lord. And when you come to Psalm 134, there seems to be a shift change that is taking place. Day shift is over, and as the workers of the day shift are leaving, they're exhorting those that are reporting for duty to work the night shift. It's a word of proclamation. It's a word of exhortation. It's a word of celebration. As the day shift leaves and the night shift workers come in, the day shift is telling those workers, bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And the Lord that kept heaven and earth will bless thee out of Zion. There is a shift change from the day shift to the night shift, and now they're going to do their part to stand and to serve working the night shift. Now I want to say three quick things tonight about the night shift from these three verses. First of all, I want you to think about the challenge of the night shift. Why is it so challenging to work the night shift? Well, for one reason, it's a dark time. I mean, the lights are out. It's dark. And you know this tonight. Have to live very long to understand. In the darkness, it's a time of obscurity. You see things in the dark that aren't even really there. You'll see images and you'll see imaginations and things in your mind that are not even really there. But because it's dark, it's a time of obscurity. Can I say this tonight? If you're in a dark time, the worst thing you can do is move. You better stay where you are. If you're in a dark place in your spiritual life tonight, you better stay with God. You better not move until God turns the light on. You'll make a decision. You'll regret. Even though it's dark, you stay with God. It's not only a dark time, but it's a deserted time. They tell us usually there are more people or less people, preacher, that work the night shift than it worked the day shift. I got to study this one day, and many Old Testament writers believe that there could have been as few as 30 on the low side and as many as 100 on the high side that were working the night shift. But there were far less workers at night than there were that worked in the day. It was not only a dark time, it was a deserted time. When everything's going good in your life, you won't have any trouble finding people that want to be around you. But it's when the bottom falls out and God turns the lights off and it gets dark, you'll find yourself sometimes all alone. And yet though it's dark and it's deserted, it's also a dangerous time. See, it's in the nighttime when the thieves and the robbers show up. It's when the lights are out that those that are trying to do harm and violence, they'll make their appearance. They won't do it in broad daylight. They show up in the dark and in the desertion of the night shift. So those workers, on one hand, were positioned there, Brother Mike, in the temple to stand guard in the house of God while it was dark and while it was deserted and while it was dangerous. They're standing guard there. Somebody Somebody's got to protect the things of God. Somebody's got to protect the house of God. Somebody's got to protect and stand their ground. Oh, tonight, may we make up our mind, Mom and Dad, and Grandma and Grandpa, and men of God. Somebody's got to stand guard tonight. Somebody's got to work the night shift and make our mind up. The devil may do it, but he's not going to do it on my watch. The devil may do it, but he's not going to do it on my shift. I'm going to stand my post and work the night shift. The challenge of the night shift. But then I want to say about the choice for the night shift. I got to thinking one day, Brother Ken, wondering to myself, why are these people working the night shift? Did they get demoted? Was it punishment? Was it because they failed to do so? Oh, no. 1 Chronicles 28 tells us that they were ministering to the king by course. In other words, it was their turn. They had been chosen by the king himself to work the night shift. I'm kind of thinking maybe the king knew he could trust them enough to stand guard in that dark time, in that deserted time, in that dangerous time. They had proved themselves to be faithful. He had kept his eye on them. And he knew, I can count on them. Yes, and so they're chosen by the king to do what? Look at verse 1. They're chosen to serve. He calls them, ye servants of the Lord. Not a glorious job, probably, to be a night watchman. Probably didn't get 1,000 resumes or applications sent in. Oh, but what an honor that it was to be chosen just to serve the king. What an honor that it was just to be thought of, and to be thought of enough to know that you're faithful and you're reliable and you're available. I say tonight, what an honor it is to serve the King of Glory. What an honor it is just to be a ambassador, and be a representation of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we got no sad songs to sing tonight. Thank God He loved us enough to save us, and He saved us to equip us, and He uses us for His glory and for His honor. What a privilege to be chosen to serve the King tonight. They were not only chosen to serve, but they were chosen to stand. The Bible said, latter part of verse 1, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. No time to sit down. No time to bellyache. No time to moan. No time to groan. Well, preacher, have you seen the news? In all honesty, no, I haven't. Maybe that's why I got a smile on my face. Holy news, I'm interested in what they sang about a minute ago. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God, I know who holds tomorrow. And we stand our ground. Paul said, after you've done everything else, put on the whole armor of God. And after you've done everything, just stand. Just stand your ground. You've been chosen to serve. You've been chosen to stand. And Lord, verse 2, they've been chosen to shout. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. In other words, they're not enduring their time on the night shift. They're enjoying their time on the night shift. They're standing. They're serving. And they're shouting. They haven't lost the wonder of it all. They haven't forgot that the king didn't have to choose us. We don't deserve to be here. But for some reason, the king thought enough of us to choose us to stand here and to serve here. And we're going to give glory unto his name. We're going to shout. We're going to praise God even while we're working the night shift. I know a lot of places shouting is out of order, but I believe that book teaches it's still in order. It doesn't. I remember one night, a dear lady come to me and said, preacher, all this shouting getting a little out of hand. And she said, God's not deaf. I said, no, ma'am. He's not nervous either. He's not nervous. It don't scare him. Why? We're not doing it to put on a show. We're doing it when we think about, I don't know why the king loved me, but for some reason he did. And one day he left the portals of glory and he came to this old glory world and he suffered and he bled and he died and he saved my soul. And now he's let me serve and let me stand. The least I can do is bless his name. Spurgeon said, when night settles down on a church, the Lord has his watchers still guarding the truth. And these must not be discouraged, but continue to bless the Lord even when the darkest night draws on. You saints of God tonight that are serving, that are standing, that are shouting, it's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. It's not time to get down and to get discouraged. It's dark. It's the night shift. But just keep standing. Just keep serving. Just keep shouting. It's going to be worth it all one of these days. There's the challenge of the night shift. There's the choice for the night shift. But then I come to verse number 3. And there's the charge to the night shift. I want you to see something. I'm almost done. I want you to see this. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Very simple. You may have picked up on it when we read. There's a blessing that's given in all three verses. It's a required blessing. As the day shift leaves, the night shift comes, they give that blessing. Bless the Lord, verse 1. Bless the Lord, verse 2. And the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. So they're given a charge as you come and report for night duty. You bless the Lord. Anybody can praise Him in the daylight. But the charge is you keep praising Him even when the lights go out. You keep praising Him when the doctor's report is no good. You keep praising Him when it seems like this world's losing its mind. You keep praising Him when you don't know how you're going to make it and you got more bills at the month than money. You just keep praising. You just keep blessing the Lord. It's a required blessing. Can I just say this? It's a shame that God would have to command us to bless His name. After everything He's done for us. It's a shame and a disgrace that God would have to charge us and to command us to bless His holy name. Our church has heard, Brother Jerry's heard this many times before, but did you know tonight that everything of God's creation praises the Lord? The little bird flies through the air and he chirps and he flaps his wings. He's saying, praise the Lord. Why? He's doing what he was created to do. A little dog runs through the yard and chases the ball, Brother Allen, and he barks. And he wags his tail. He's saying, praise the Lord, because he's doing what he was created to do. The cow stands in the pasture, eats the green grass, chews his cud. He's praising the Lord because he's doing what he was created to do. God didn't have to tell the birds to praise Him. He didn't tell the cows and the dogs to praise Him. He has to command us. That's a shame, because if anybody ought to praise Him, it ought to be us tonight. A little bird don't know what it's like to have their sins put under the blood and washed as far as east is from the west. A cow doesn't know what it's like to be redeemed and to be set free. A little dog doesn't know what it's like to have his name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I know somebody tonight that knows something about it, because I was there when it happened. He forgave my sin. He made me good for heaven. Wrote my name down in glory. I've just got to say, hallelujah, bless the Lord. It's a required blessing. It's a repeated blessing. It's in all three verses. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. You kind of get the idea by the suggestion of emphasis and repetition. It's important to God. Bless Him. Praise Him. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. But it's not only a required blessing and a repeated blessing, but it's a reciprocated blessing. Look at it. In verse 1 and 2, the blessing is going up. But in verse 3, the blessing changes direction. The blessing goes up in verse 1 and 2. But in verse 3, the blessing's coming down. And so that required and repeated now is reciprocated. As I'm blessing him, he in turn blesses me. As I in turn give him what's due to his name, God in turn responds to that. And the blessing that goes up now, preacher, that blessing is coming out. That word bless there, it literally means to bow down, to adore. We would say it today, tell somebody how much you love them. They sang about it a minute ago. That lovely name of Jesus, nobody like it. He's in a class all his own. And when you bless the Lord, you're basically saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, thank you for being my father. Thank you for letting me be one of your children. That's what it means to bless the Lord. So, brother, can I borrow you for a minute? Should I get her permission? Yeah, can I borrow you? Come help me for a second while I close. I like those boots. Sharp. Would you bow down there? He's reporting for night shift duty. And as he comes to the night shift to the house of the Lord, the day shift workers are telling him, bless the Lord. That stand in the house of the Lord, you lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So as he reports for duty, the night shift, he's telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for being so good to me. God, thank you for saving me. Lord, it's an honor to serve you. It's an honor to stand for you. Lord, it's an honor to be a part of your family. And the blessing is going up. But now in verse 3, while he's loving on the Lord, it seems like the Lord comes around in verse 3. And he says, you know what? I love you too. You're giving me glory. You're blessing me. Well, I just won't tell you, I'm glad you're in my family. I'm glad you're my son. I'm glad I'm your father. I'm glad you're serving. I'm glad you're standing. I'm glad you're shouting. Don't give up. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide every need you got. Hey, there's no reason to quit. You've come too far to turn back now. Just keep a going. Keep a serving. Keep a standing. Keep a shouting. It's going to be worth it all. One day. Thank you, buddy. And as the blessing goes up, the blessing comes down. Many years ago, high school and college, I worked one time about 3 jobs. I worked at UPS, first shift. I'd get off from that. I'd report, worked on a masonry crew, and I'd mix mortar all day long. I'd get off from that. I played a lot of travel ball back in that day, and I'd get off from that, and most of the time during the summer would have practice. And I'd get done with practice, preacher, and it wasn't long. I'd work third shift at a little produce place there local in our hometown. There were some nights I'd go without much sleep. You can do that when you're young. You can't do that no more. Somebody told me as you get older, you're required less sleep. The devil's a liar. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God. Most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap sometimes. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'd go some nights, Brother Mike, no sleep. That was before Red Bull. That was before Monster Energy drinks. You're going on sheer adrenaline. And my job on that third shift produce plant, I was separating produce, the good from the bad. Grapefruit, oranges, apples, tomatoes, whatever we got in there. My job, when we didn't have trucks to unload, I was separating, sorting out that bad produce from the good produce. I was okay as long as there was a lot of activity going on. When you slow down and you're already dog tired, boy, it gets rough. Sun my eyelids, got 100-pound weights on them. I'm doing everything I can to try to stay awake. Then one day it dawned on me. We were in the refrigerated part of that warehouse, And it was separated by those big, long, clear plastic slats that hang down. That's what separates the inside, the refrigeration, from the docks on the outside where the trucks back up to. And as I was separating that produce, Brother Jerry, I'm right there close to the dock. I can see right through those slats. And Brother Ken, all of a sudden I noticed a bright orange beam in the corner of my eye. The sun was starting to come up. And I knew when I saw the sun coming up, it was about time to go home.
Right. Amen.
I'd been there all night. But I knew, Brother Mike, when the sun started coming up, it was about time to clock out. I was going home. Night shift was over. It was daytime. And it was time to go home. I met him August the 10th of this year. It was 34 years ago. I met him on a Saturday morning. I was not in church. I'm ashamed, and I wouldn't give the devil a platform to tell you what I was doing the night before I got saved. But I woke up that Saturday morning as lost as a redneck in New York City. I knew that I was headed to hell, and I deserved to go to hell. But I didn't want to go to hell, and I called on his name. All I had in my little apartment was a little old aluminum folding chair, and I knelt down, and best I could, I begged God over and over, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And ever since that day, I'm still looking for the sun to come up. Because I know when I see the sun coming up, Brother Allen, it's going to be time to go home. I'm going to clock out on the night shift, and John said we're going to a city where there's no night there. But the glory of the darling Lamb of God will light that city forever and forever. You may be here tonight. You're going through a night shift in your personal life. It may be family trouble, marriage trouble, job trouble, whatever. But you're going through a dark time in your life. You need to be reminded tonight, it's not time to walk away from God now. Hey, it's dark. You stay where you are. You keep standing. You keep serving. You keep shouting because the sun's coming up again. And what a joy it is to be chosen to serve Him and to stand and to shout, because one of these days the sun's are coming up in the morning. It could be tonight. I've done told Brother Jared, Jesus comes before Wednesday night. I've already given him instructions how to handle the service. Hallelujah. If the Lord comes, amen. But He's a coming.
He's coming, Richard. He's coming.
Somebody told me this years ago, said it gets darkest right before the sun comes up. I don't know what time that would be now, time changing, but right at its darkest moment, and right about that time, the sun starts to pierce through the clouds and begins to come up. It's awful dark tonight. We're living in a dark world. There's a lot of churches tonight that are cloaked in darkness. There's a lot of God's people tonight groping around in the darkness. What are we going to do, preacher? Keep standing. Keep serving. Preachers, keep preaching. Singers, keep singing. Christian, keep shouting. Because the sun's coming up in the morning. So just keep working the night shift. It's going to be worth it all.
Amen.
One of these days. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.